So I will admit to you today, at first, I was really looking forward to this particular sermon for this reason. I thought it would be simple. I mean, that makes sense, right? A sermon focused on simplicity, we're going to focus on the spiritual discipline of simplicity, should be simple, right? Well, I was wrong. I think going into this sermon, I was picturing simplistic, not simple. And there's a big difference between the two. Simplistic is quick and easy, but honestly, not of a lot of value a lot of times. Simplicity requires struggle and discipline and leads ultimately to the kingdom of God. It sounds strange to say that simplicity is a discipline. That almost seems counter to what simplicity is, and yet we will find that it is true. Why? Because we are not a simple people. We live in a culture that is not a simple culture. It takes effort and intentionality to achieve, to live into, and to remain simple. In fact, the second law of thermodynamics states that as one goes forward in time, the net entropy, that is the degree of disorder, of any isolated or closed system will always increase. In other words, left unchecked, disorder, chaos will increase with time. Entropy is a scientific term often used in referencing or measuring the degree of disorder or randomness in the world. Now, that's the scientific definition for what we're talking about here and why simplicity is hard to live into. Here's a more practical illustration for you that jumps into mind for me, and that is I remember very clearly when our two now young men, our sons, were little, specifically when they were about age 2. Just put 2 2-year-olds in an empty room or left unchecked here for a little while, and you just watch what happens. Toys, pillows, clothes everywhere. So not really in an empty room, but just letting them in there for a little while. Things tend to explode as they just go through everything. When our boys were that age, they could be in any room for a very short amount of time, and whatever had been in order was quickly out of order. Think about how it works in our world, or oftentimes in our own lives. I hear over and over again from people how complicated life feels. There are so many forces pulling at us from all directions all the time. Think about how much effort it takes to keep something like your garage organized, or closets organized, or our refrigerators organized. I mean, how does it even happen that things get as messy as they do? Not too long ago, my wife Jen had been looking in our food pantry and she had just had it. It had just somehow over time just kind of exploded and there were things everywhere and we didn't even know what was in there. And so she literally took a number of hours to organize, to clean. She had to empty everything out, almost making more of a mess, but then putting everything back in, throwing out garbage, throwing out things that had expired, all of those things. And after all of that energy and effort, what had been incredibly chaotic and disorderly became very organized and orderly, much more simple to navigate. But it took energy and effort. We know it's more difficult to live a simple life than a chaotic one. We may not desire chaos, but we know that tends to be the more natural state that we live into, which means if we're going to live a simple life, we're going to have to work for it. We're going to have to be intentional, which is why simplicity is a discipline we must continue to work towards. Now, as you know, this is the season of Lent. Lent is a natural time to focus on the state of our souls before God. And to help us focus on the state of our souls before God, to help them truly flourish and live into full vitality, you remember we are exploring a number of spiritual disciplines throughout this season. It is not possible to cover every discipline out there, so we're covering some that are more familiar to us and some that are more unfamiliar. So, week one, we focused on the spiritual discipline of meditation. Week two, we focused on the spiritual discipline of prayer. Meditation is probably a little more unfamiliar to many of us. Prayer is probably a little more familiar to many of us. And now today, we're giving a focus to this idea of the discipline of simplicity. And we want to be very explicit in what we mean by this. I find simplicity to be a fascinating topic and practice because, on the one hand, I would imagine most of us know to a degree what simplicity is. I would also bet that most of us in the craziness of this world desire simplicity. And yet simplicity has a way of remaining ever elusive to us. It almost feels like trying to get to the end of the rainbow. You can see it in the distance, you desire it, you move towards it, and yet every time you get closer, it reaches out just a little bit farther beyond your grasp or reach. So we have to keep working towards simplicity in order to actually experience it. And I want to suggest to us today that simplicity is far more important and profound than we might think. I want to suggest to us today that if we want our souls to truly be able to celebrate in God, to have life and flourishing to the fullest degree, then we have to engage in simplicity with more intentionality in our lives. And to do this, we have to take a 360-degree approach in our lives, encompassing every area of our lives. So we're talking about simplicity in our finances, in our schedules, in our homes, in our personal relationships, in our time, in our relationship with God. All of that becomes encompassed to try to experience a simplified life. So that for the health of our soul, simplicity must involve a 360-degree reality. And why is this then healthy for our souls? Well, I love the way that the 17th into the 18th century philosopher and theologian Francis Fenelon describes this simplicity when he says this: "When we are truly in this interior simplicity, our whole appearance is franker, more natural. This true simplicity makes us conscious of a certain openness, gentleness, innocence, joy, and serenity, which is charming when we see it near to and continually with pure eyes. Oh, how amiable this simplicity is. Who will give it to me? I leave all for this. It is the pearl of the gospel." In other words, when we live into the essence of the gospel with Jesus who conquers death and evil, we can experience simplicity as a way of life. Jesus referenced this simplicity in what we heard this morning in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16 in the Message version. It said, "The people brought children to Jesus, hoping he might touch them. The disciples shooed them off, but Jesus was irate and he let them know it. 'Don't push these children away. Don't ever get between them and me. These children are at the very center of the life in the kingdom. Mark this, unless you accept God's kingdom in the what? Simplicity of a child, you'll never get in.' Then gathering the children up in his arms, he laid his hand of blessing on them." Jesus references many of the same elements that Fenelon did: simplicity in seeing the world with the eyes, with the heart, with the innocence, with the hope, with the perspective of a child. Simplicity then provides a certain wisdom for us. It's always on time. It allows us to experience the fullness of the present moment, both as a gift and in partnership with God. In some ways, I think we can say that simplicity lets us experience the Jesus life to the fullest degree because we are not otherwise distracted by the clutter, the distractions, and the secondary complexities in this world. All of these then become benefits of simplicity. Once again, as we've looked at with some of the other disciplines, I am grateful today for the work of Richard Foster. And he reminds us that simplicity is freedom. Excessive busyness is bondage. Simplicity brings joy and balance. Hurriedness brings anxiety and fear. Simplicity lets us be fully present in a way that's not robbed by the anxieties and pressures of today into tomorrow. Simplicity recognizes what is important and does not get distracted from these things. And all of this sounds wonderful because simplicity is wonderful. The question then becomes, how do we actually live into it? Simplicity involves a number of layers of practice. Specifically, the Christian discipline of simplicity is an inward reality, which then results in an outward lifestyle. So there are two elements here to really pay attention to. One, we deceive ourselves if we believe that we can possess an inward reality of simplicity without then having it have a profound effect outwardly in how we live our lives. But also, the attempt to arrange an outward lifestyle of simplicity without an inward reality of simplicity leads to a form of legalism that is not good or healthy. So first, true simplicity begins with an inward focus. Now, you and I live in a time when it's incredibly difficult to give our inward focus to simplicity in our lives. There's so much of everything going on all the time in our world that never, ever stops. And it becomes difficult to not have our attention pulled in 1,000 different directions. I think there are two areas in our life in particular where it is very, very difficult to live a simple life. And those are in the areas of our time and our finances. Most of us find our desires when it comes to money and time marked with incredible complexity. Hardly anybody chooses on purpose to live into a maybe smaller house so that their life will be more simple. Hardly anyone believes that less really is more. So our lust for continual meaning and achievement and status and possessions makes the simple life incredibly difficult to live into. And then on top of our own lust, we're trapped in this maze of competing attachments for our loyalty and affection. So every commercial, every advertisement, so much of the content and commentary on social media, it's all designed to tell us what we need or what we are missing or how to grab it and live into it to find a truly meaningful life as defined by our culture. And in the pool, it becomes endless in this searching and this pulling, and it becomes exhausting as we are pulled over and over and over again. It's anything but simple. We really must understand that this lust for more in our contemporary society, ultimately at the end of the day, it's actually psychotic when we stop and really realize it. It's psychotic because in many ways we actually begin to lose touch with reality. We now crave things whether we need them or not, whether we need them to or even have them to enjoy. I mean, so for example, do we really need $45 Stanley Quencher cups? I mean, they're great and all, but do we have to have them in 5 different colors to keep our drinks cold for multiple hours? Are we really not able to survive with drinks that stay cold for just a few minutes instead of a number of hours and then dare to become a little bit warmer? We can't drink our drinks then? In our family, my kids laugh at me because I will often get a hot drink in the morning. And then honestly, I just kind of let it get kind of a lukewarm, but I will sip on it literally all day long. Now, I admit that might be a little gross and a little over the top, but we really are trained that it's not okay to have something like that occur. Think about how we use our time. Many of us work long hours, skipping time with loved ones to save up money to then go on trips to spend time with those loved ones, except we can't really afford those trips to go away with loved ones. And those trips tend to pass all too quickly. And then we have to work long hours again to pay for those trips to go away with loved ones who we're not spending time with on a regular basis anyhow, because we're working all the time. It becomes psychotic. And yet the cultivation of simplicity not only helps us experience joy by slowing down and being present, but it fosters a contentment as we become freed from worry and anxiety. We spent an entire series to kick off this year on a cultivation of contentment. So we won't spend much time on that here, but a byproduct of simplicity is freedom from worry. And who among us would not want to worry a little or a lot less? We're freed from worry because in the slowing down, we realize that our true provision comes from God and not in our own efforts, not from our endless, frantic efforts. One of the best descriptions of this inward reality of simplicity in our lives is what we heard today in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Here, Jesus is preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, and listen again, let these words sink in. And let them be a description for us of what a heart and what an inward disposition of simplicity begins to look like in our lives. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. As you know, we are focused this year here at First Church as it being a year of Jubilee for us. A year of Jubilee is best experienced with an inward disposition of simplicity. Only as we experience that simplicity can we live into full joy, full freedom, full release from slavery as we practice Jubilee together. Remember, we will not fully rest. We will not fully trust God to meet our basic needs. We will not stop straining. We will not be free from our lust for more. We will not give generously without a disposition of simplicity. Why? Because simplicity is one of the things that most sufficiently reorients our lives so that possessions and time can genuinely be enjoyed without destroying us. Of all the disciplines, says Foster, simplicity is the most visible and therefore the most open to corruption. The majority of Christians have never seriously wrestled with the reality of simplicity, conveniently ignoring the words of Jesus on this topic. And the reason is simple, because this discipline directly challenges our vested interests in an affluent lifestyle. To be of a simple mindset is to be freed from earthly burdens. And all of that begins with an inward disposition. How do we do that? How do we focus on this? We get to understand what a right-focused priority is. And that is the central point for the discipline of simplicity is to seek first the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God first. Then everything else necessary will come into its proper order and place. It is impossible to overstate the importance of Jesus' insight on this point. It all hinges on keeping first things first. And what we see is that simplicity is the discipline of putting first things first by seeking first the kingdom of God. But we have to be careful because simplicity then can easily become an idol in and of itself, taking precedence over the seeking of the kingdom of God. And that too leads to a form of legalism. So here's what this means. To experience in simplicity, the desire to get out of the rat race cannot be the central driving factor for simplicity. Or seeking redistribution of the world's wealth cannot be the central soul desire for seeking simplicity. Or even seeking a much less a rushed life cannot be the central driving factor for simplicity. Instead, the driving factor for simplicity has to be seeking first the kingdom of God. Once we do that, everything else will fall into place. When the kingdom of God is central, when it's placed first, then the distribution of wealth, helping the poor, ecological concerns, slowing down in a much less rushed life, all of those will receive their proper attention as we seek first the kingdom of God. But once we reverse those, it always leads to legalism and pushing out the kingdom of God. To some degree, I would say we can choose the simple life. That is, we can choose to seek first the kingdom of God. We can be as intentional about it as we can be. But at the same time, I'm not sure we can 100% force it or make it happen either. In many ways, simplicity comes as a result of an overflow of the relationship that we have with God. So today, I want to invite us to pray here for just a few moments, like literally in the midst of this time together, and ask that God's kingdom be first and central in our lives, so that then we might live out of that inward disposition in an overflow to external actions in our lives. And as we do that, then with this disposition of simplicity, we'll learn how we can take further steps into simplicity. So keeping that in mind, I want to invite us to pray. And here's what we're going to pray. First, that God will help us to put first things first by seeking first the kingdom of God. Once we've done that, we'll realize that everything we have is a gift from God. As we do that, we'll remember that God is in control of all, and therefore God will provide what we need. And finally, then, that will help us to share freely with others without worry or anxiety. So would you pray with me for that inward disposition? And then we'll look at a little bit at some of the outward actions we can take in relation to simplicity. So let's pray. Lord God, today help us to receive all that we have as a gift from you. We depend on you for water and air and food and protection. God, we depend on you for our intelligence, our ability to think, our ability to walk. We live by the grace of your daily bread, and God, help us to never take that for granted. Lord, today we confess we are tempted to think that what we own is the result only of our own personal efforts. But all it takes is a drought or an accident or a sickness to show us once again how utterly dependent we are on you for everything. So today, Lord, we recognize all we have is a gift from you, and that makes us grateful and content. God, in this gratitude, we realize you are the great provider. You are our protector. And so, God, we realize it is your business and not ours to care for what we have. Lord, you are able to protect what we possess. Therefore, we can trust you. And that's why Jesus tells us not to worry about tomorrow. In this way today, God, we release our anxiety to you. We trust you to protect and provide rather than endlessly striving ourselves. And we realize then that simplicity means freedom to trust you, God, for all things. And Lord, because you provide and protect, we can feel free to share abundantly, generously, even extravagantly with others. So today, Lord, we come seeking the simple life. First, the kingdom of God. And we pray these attitudes will characterize our lives in a way which will lead then to a more simple life. We pray this all in the power of your Holy Spirit and in your name together. Amen. That is the disposition of a simple life inwardly. From that disposition, what outward steps can we take towards simplicity? Well, I invite you to use your imagination, let God show you, but here are a few suggestions to help us to begin to live into a more simple life outwardly as an overflow of that inward disposition we just prayed a few moments ago. First, focus on savor over sparse. Simplicity does not avoid meaning excess. Simplicity does avoid meaning excess to a degree, but that does not mean avoiding beauty or enjoying elements of this life. A simple life is not a less than life. It's actually a more full life. So for example, think about it this way. A simple meal might be a homemade vegetable soup that has simmered all day long, along with freshly baked bread out of the oven. Now, think how pleasing that meal is. Colors, aromas, textures, and just imagine enjoying it in a non-rushed manner with conversation and laughter. A sparse meal would be something more like a runny can of soup thrown into the microwave to heat up, along with a prepackaged slice of bread. A sparse meal might be quickly driving through fast food to have something thrown together as quickly as possible from a fryer as part of a mass production effort to be eaten very quickly on the way to another work obligation or practice or something else. The difference between savor and sparse. We might savor a long conversation with a loved one over a delightful beverage because we've cleared our afternoon schedule, compared to a sparse conversation where we keep checking our watch every few moments, thinking that we'll be getting our next text or email or some other message. We can live into this concept of sparse and savor when it comes to looking at our life in general as well. be encouraged to reject anything that's producing an addiction in you. Now, that refers not just to drugs. It could be television or social media, endless scrolling. For some, it's chocolate or pornography or gambling. Addictions are these things that have a grip on our heart that enslave us in some way. Remember, simplicity is about freedom, not slavery. While addictions often go beyond our own willpower, I mean, rarely can we decide simply just to give them up, we can decide to open up those corners of secrecy of our lives to God's forgiving grace and healing power. And particularly, we can let trusted loved ones know about those addictions so they can walk with us, pray with us. We can choose to live simply, one day at a time, in quiet dependence upon God's intervention and the strengthening of the Holy Spirit. If we have these areas in our lives of undisciplined compulsions, that most likely is an addiction or very close to it. That is not a life of simplicity. Also in life, we need to distinguish our needs from our wants. Now, especially be aware of this one with the social media influencing and messaging that we receive. Ask yourself before you purchase it, do I actually need this? And maybe even commit to having a conversation with a trusted individual before you buy it, if it's really a necessity. And by the way, if you have to ask if it is a necessity, it probably isn't, just as a general rule. Some of you might remember a couple months ago, I shared about my car needing to go into the shop. And you know, I told you that I was given a brand new car to drive for a few weeks, and I was so confused on why they would give me a brand new, updated, newest model to be driving around, until somebody pointed out to me that the dealership was hoping I would so enjoy that newer model that I would think I needed it and therefore I would buy it. Now, it was nice, but I discovered I did not need to have just a 2-inch larger screen and the software that tells me if I'm in my lane or not. Like, I could survive still driving without those extra elements. Finally, let God simplify your life through creation. This one combines many of the previous items we've already listed, but God's creation helps us to slow down, helps us to savor, helps us to enjoy beauty. It disconnects us from voices in this world that pull us in 1,000 directions, and it points us to the original creator of all. Now, this one's pretty self-explanatory, because when you get into God's creation, there's something about it that just centers us. We listen to the birds. We enjoy the gentle breeze. We listen to the sound of running water. We look at the deep greens of the grasses and the trees around us. We enjoy the textures of nature. We smell the flowers. We marvel at the rich colors everywhere. All of that helps us live a more simple life. Simplicity, once again, means that we discover, according to Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. One of the people that most helps me enjoy the simplicity of God's amazing creation is Lena Yegel, right here at church. I read many of her posts and descriptions and observations just because she helps me to slow down in such a significant way. I so appreciate her attention to detail, her ability to focus on that which really matters in a way that slows me down in the most simple, beautiful, and wonderful way possible. Lena had made a post a while back on a snowy day, and part of what she said was, "I spent the morning shoveling out the house. I was sitting. It was a lot, but it was beautiful." And then she asked, "Did anyone else notice how cute the snowflakes are in this snow?" Now, this was just snowflakes, and yet Lena had an ability to see the beauty of those snowflakes in all of their fullness. Why? Because she slowed down. She wasn't distracted by anything else. She was fully present in the moment, and it was wonderful. That's simplicity. Lena sees a world I often do not, because she pays attention. She truly appreciates the beauty of the creator and the creation. She savors it through a life of simplicity. Church, your soul is so important, and we want to see our souls as alive as possible. Living into simplicity is one of the best ways that we can foster this celebration in our souls. For me, one of the ways that I'm seeking to live into this is it's become a habit for me here fairly recently in my life. that is, it turns out to be about once a quarter, but it's actually more like we aim for once a quarter. It's more like maybe three times a year. A good friend and myself, we clear the calendar on a particular day. We join together, we get together in the morning, and we go for a long hike. I leave my phone behind, I have nothing with me. And on the hike, we talk, we marvel at God's creation, we pause, we laugh, we share deeply and honestly. And then at the end of our time together, we go and have a meal together where once again, we're not rushed. We just savor the food and the time together and the time before God. And every time I leave that particular opportunity, I find my heart, my soul filled, because I'm starting ever so slowly to live into a more simple life. So church, let's do that together. We too can have the faith, the simplicity of a child of God, where we keep first the kingdom of God and experience the fullness of the simple life in Jesus Christ. By God's grace, may we experience that simplicity in Christ together.